Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And away we go, San Diego. Welcome in to Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. 2:01 on the clock with you till 6 o'clock. Well, at least half of the, two-thirds of the crew are with you guys until 6 o'clock. I will have to mosey on down to the Peoria Sports Complex for the 6:40 Wago. Padres taking on the Rockies.
You'll just know when you get there.
I think it's the Rockies.
I don't know who they play tonight.
Yes, well, one way or another, I'll find out. It is the Rockies. They played the Rockies at 6:40. WBC championship game. Everybody gets their players back after today. The USA going up against Japan, what many thought could be a final, is actually come to fruition. Should be a fun game. I'm not sure who's starting yet.
Looks like Merrill Kelly's going to get the start.
Merrill Kelly for U.S. Do we know?
Yes, we do, but I can't pronounce his name.
Oh, so it's not Yu Darvish.
It's not Yu Darvish. Okay. Rumors were that Darvish was going to get the start, but they're going with a southpaw, Shota Imanaga.
Yeah.
He's been in two games in relief in the tournament, giving up one run. I imagine that Managa will probably pitch a few innings, and then I'm hoping they don't use Darvish. I would rather them just save him for Padre duty, but I'm thinking Darvish probably pitches around the middle innings, and then I would think Shohei Ohtani would be an option for Team Japan a little later in the ball game, so it could be interesting. You know, the United States has a great lineup, but Ohtani against Trout could be an interesting matchup late in the ball game, Tony.
Yeah,
you never know how this game's going to work out, but you know, the United States is here without a superstar pitching staff. Really, I mean, Merrill Kelly is not exactly an all-star. He's a good pitcher. Solid everyday guy. Kyle Freeland is probably going to pitch some tonight, and the United States is going to do everything they can to get it to the, you know, back into the bullpen, get Williams out there from Milwaukee to pitch the eighth inning, and get Presley from Houston to pitch the ninth inning if they can get that far. But yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I imagine it'd be a great day to rob a bank in Japan. Because
nobody's going to be paying attention.
I can't imagine anybody's going to be out in the streets in Japan. I mean, they're all going to be watching this game. And, you know, I mean, it'll be – the ratings are going to be off the charts, especially in Japan. Yeah. I don't know what it'll be like here. I think the tournament's been a great success. I've really enjoyed it personally. I don't know that everybody has come around to that way of thinking. I think a lot of people think this tournament's almost been – a bit of a nuisance, but that's for people that just haven't watched it, in my mind, Tony, because if you've even tuned in a little bit of a game, you can see how much it means to these teams. And the game last night was spectacular. Team Mexico was three outs away from advancing to the finals. Randy Arozarena was going to be probably a hero in Mexico forevermore. He may still be. I mean, he just continues to get the job done. Luis Urias hit the big three-run homer for the Team Mexico, and they had their guy on the mound, Gallegos, pretty good closer, eighth-inning guy for the Cardinals, but, you know, good closer. And he got a changeup up in the strike zone to Ohtani, who hit a double and then a walk. And then the big guy, Murakami, hits one off the fence, and the game's over just like that.
Too. Yeah.
I didn't know Murakami was like a Japanese sensation. He's like one of the greatest players in the history of Japan. So the guy who had the big hit, Yoshida, of course, who follows Ohtani in the lineup, is the guy that the Red Sox signed. And he hit a three-run homer in the game last night, too. So Team Japan's got some guys. They got some guys. It's going to be fun tonight, and bragging rights will be at stake for sure.
I think to one of your earlier points about the U.S. doing it with not their best pitchers, it's just a reminder of how good Major League Baseball you have to be in Major League Baseball. Like, Merrill Kelly is a good pitcher at the big league level. Certainly not one of the best, but he's had a ton of success in this series. So, or in this tournament, I should say. This is why the big leagues is the best league in the entire world. I don't think there's any question about that. But
yeah.
One of the other points you made was that, you know, a lot of people may not have come around. I don't even know if it's a lot of people. It's the louder voices, I think, but I don't know that it's a lot of people that haven't got on board with this. It's hard not to when you actually watch the games and see the passion that these guys have for these games. And so I'll watch anything where I see the people who are playing are putting that kind of energy into it. And, you know, this would be a perfect ending to what has been, I think, as you do, a successful WBC. And, you know, you get to watch the U.S. Compete against Japan. Many people thought this would be the matchup. That's the exact matchup we got. It didn't look like it. I mean, some epic calls that I'm sure we'll get a chance to hear in today's Rate the Radio call. I don't know if you guys have got a chance to hear it, but Japan's call was phenomenal. And it was phenomenal for a couple different reasons. Chris, it told me that not only in the States, but also in other countries, the color guy talks over the play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
That is the first thing I thought about listening to it. But, I mean, could you have had a better ending to what was a back-and-forth game? I mean, I went to two different places yesterday. I went to eat. I went to grab some groceries. And the lead had changed drastically in each place that I stopped at, to the point where I pulled up at my house. I had left the TV on. Japan was like walking out on the field to celebrations, or running out on the field for celebrations. So it was a great game last night. Hopefully they can match that in tonight's game, or tonight's big matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Arozarena, you could see the look on his face when it was over. He was just like, man, that was a great ride, but that really stings.
Yeah.
You could see it from both sides, you know, the winning and losing side. And yeah, I think when you kind of have that kind of competitive passion, it kind of translates over to the fans and the viewership. I mean, I like I said before, I didn't expect this to be that interesting. I thought it'd be fun. I was going to root for the United States to have a good tournament. I wasn't really sweating it out one way or the other. But when I saw everybody else sweating it out, I started thinking, you know what, I want to win this thing now. And I think Japan's going to be tough to beat, because they just, to me, this means everything to them. The United States can say that it means everything and they want to win, but I think in their deepest heart of hearts, it's just not quite the same. It's not a World Series, even though Trey Turner said that he was having a, you know, he wants to win this as much as he'd like to win a World Series. I still think we're brought up in America to win a World Series, compete at the highest level in Major League Baseball. In Japan, you want to make, you know, the Japan Major Leagues, and you want to win World Baseball Championships. So I think that they have a little bit of an edge there. But for one game in baseball, it always comes down to your pitching. I mean, which pitchers are going to be on tonight? It's not a best of three. It's not a best of five. It's one game. And so many different things can happen in just one game. So it'll be fun. I mean, they start at 4 o'clock. Looking forward to it.
It's a great idea to start Merrill Kelly, who got his career back on track.
Yeah,
by going to pitch in Japan. So he's pretty familiar with these guys that he's going to be facing, I'm pretty sure. So That may be something that plays into the United States' favor.
Yeah.
The familiarity for Merle Kelly in tonight's action. Padres back in action tonight against the Rockies. No lineup that I've seen yet. Have you guys seen one come across?
No, I haven't seen anything. Lad, I'm kind of looking forward to Bob Melvin's pregame scrum today because there's a lot of information out there that I want to know. And first and foremost is how's Juan Soto feeling in his oblique. I want to know how Austin Nola's doing after a few days after being hit in the face and the nose by a pitch. You know, I want to see how Musgrove's coming along. I mean,
Has there been any communication with Darvish and where he's at?
Exactly. There's a lot of little kind of questions that I want to know answers to. And, you know, we're going to be down in Peoria starting tomorrow, and we'll be doing our program live from Peoria tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. But I'd like to be down there today because this is a day where you're going to get a lot of important information from the Padres. You know, I'm very concerned about this Juan Soto thing, an oblique injury. It can be nothing, or it can be something that lingers for a while and causes him to get off to a slower start this season. I hope that's not the case. Nola, we already talked about it yesterday. You want him catching this pitching staff from day one. Broken nose, if it's worse than that, if it's there's any complications, he could be out for a month or two. Who knows? You know, Musgrove, we're still waiting on, and Darvish, as far as, you know, whether he's going to be ready to start opening day, a lot may have to do with whether he pitches tonight. I don't know. Like I said, I'm hoping the starter for Japan pitches pretty well so that Darvish doesn't have to throw, and, you know, the United States can win the game later on. But, you know, for a Padre fan, I don't think you want to see Darvish tonight, not under these competitive circumstances, although maybe...
Yeah,
you
know,
for him, it's a good thing. I'm not 100% sure which is better, but I just assume not see him.
I don't know which one's better either. If he's not throwing a day, and tomorrow is his day, he's definitely not close to being able to pitch on opening day. So I wonder if today, if he doesn't pitch in the game, if he's going to throw because as it lines up, he's not lined up right now. Yesterday would have been the time for him to pitch in order to line him up in terms of the 4 days rest in between every start. So he's going to end up short of that if he does throw today. He's going to be even shorter if he throws tomorrow. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how this all lines up. Can he get back on track in terms
but
of...
But if he doesn't pitch tonight, Tony, couldn't you then get him back to Peoria, hopefully sometime tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening. Get him ready, whatever you have to do to make a start on Saturday in a spring training game, and therefore get Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off and be ready to start opening day on Thursday. Or is that wishing for something that's not really possible?
The thing is, we don't know. We don't know when the last time he's thrown a bullpen, where what that lines up like.
Yeah.
It's as you said, Bo Mel may or may not be able to clear the air in terms of where Yu Darvish is today. But if he's not, he certainly will have a better idea tomorrow when I'm sure Yu Darvish will be back in camp, assuming. He'll be back in camp because this game's going to end, you know, whatever time, East Coast time. I guess you can afford a private jet back this way. So
yeah, I don't know pretty much anything he wants, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the ETA is on when he returns to camp. I would assume it's going to be sometime this week, though.
Yeah, and if Japan wins, is Yu Darvish in the middle of a crazy celebration? If he is, be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful. Don't jump up and
down. I don't know that Yu is in the middle of a big celebration when the Padres clinched in each of their time. So I think he'll be fine.
That's funny you say that. I don't remember seeing Yu in the locker room at all.
Yeah. I think he sprayed his champagne, but I definitely didn't. He was always on the outside when I did see him.
So on the outskirts.
He's definitely very well aware of that. So.
Good. Stay on the outskirts. But hopefully Bob Melvin will speak to the media and have his little press conference today, his scrum, as Tony calls it.
Yes.
Hopefully it'll happen in the next couple of hours, and we'll be able to bring you some updated information.
Yeah, it's definitely
going to
happen. It's definitely going to happen in the next couple hours. It's just a matter of what he actually is able to tell us. We got Nick Alvarez, the AL.com. He covers the Alabama Crimson Tide Hoops team. We'll have him on later on this hour. We got a Rate the Radio call. We got a Daily Gabbit, Chris versus the Fam, Big Five, all of that and more. When we return, Mark, Gwen, and Chris.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the program. We are underway for a Tuesday. 2:20 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Peoria with the Padres. Padres have a night game tonight. Tony will be heading out to call that game around 5 o'clock. But until then, it's Gwynn and Chris at its finest here. 97.3 The Fan. And don't forget, starting tomorrow, we will all be down in Peoria and broadcasting live from Peoria as a whole show. We'll be together at last, the three of us, and we'll have plenty of Padre interviews for you starting tomorrow, also Thursday and Friday, so make sure you're with us for those live programs. Speaking of Friday, that is the day when all eyes around these parts will be on Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville.
Believe me, I got.
Yeah, you used to live close to Louisville.
Well, I got into a serious conversation in a bar in Cincinnati because I kept calling it Louisville, and this guy was from Louisville. He's like,
he didn't like it.
If you don't call it by its right name, Louisville, we're going to go outside.
And we're going to go outside?
I'm being 100%
serious.
The
guy wanted to fight you because you were not pronouncing Louisville
I believe
correctly?
The 18 beers we both had probably helped start that, but
did
Louisville.
Did you antagonize him like you are known to be?
I may have said, you don't know what you're talking about. It's Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't care what it is. I hope it's Winterville. That's all I'm really concerned with on Friday. The Aztecs in Alabama, they'll tip off at 3:30 West Coast time. Brian Dutcher meeting with the media today in San Diego. And getting his team ready. You know, the Aztecs, Tony, are trying to accomplish something they have never accomplished before. Actually, a couple of things. One, they're trying to make the Elite Eight. They've never advanced to the Elite Eight. And you and I have talked about this in the past, that the Aztec program continues to get better and better and better. But there are a couple of levels that they need to reach before they can get to the stratosphere. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about comparing them to Gonzaga and all of the years that Gonzaga made a Sweet 16, maybe made one sneak appearance in the Elite Eight, but always came up short of the Final Four, and then they would lose, and then they'd get back to the Sweet 16, then they'd make the Elite Eight, and then they'd lose, you know, and then they finally made the Final Four, and then they finally made the championship game. And Gonzaga's still looking for that elusive first national title. Scraby and his bracket this year predicted they'll get it this year. We'll see if that happens. But my point being, the Sweet 16 is a level we've been to. It's our third trip mm-hmm. there. And, you know, to me, yes, it's an incredibly hard challenge. You're playing the best team left in the tournament. But again, if the Aztecs want to get even farther with this program, it's just one game, but it means so much.
Yeah, I mean, it for this program, it does. I mean,
yeah,
this is like one of the remaining levels that we haven't yet got to. And you could argue that that level is what unlocks everything in terms of, I mean, recruiting has already been really, really good. But
pretty good, yeah.
You start to be able to have multiple guys. And kind of in the same way that you're seeing now, right? And this is through the transfer portal has been very good to San Diego State. But, you know, in terms of where we've seen Gonzaga ascend to, even being in a conference that is not looked at as the strongest, you know, it might be a couple steps ahead of where the Mountain West is, right, in terms of reputation. They've still been a national program over the last, what do you say, five, seven
I'd say
years?
10.
10 years?
10 for Gonzaga.
10
yeah.
years? Because they were able to, it's seemingly because they were able to get to that Elite Eight, to that Final Four, and yep. to a championship game. And so those are the three boxes remaining for this basketball program that they haven't checked yet. And they get to an Elite Eight. You could start to maybe change that conversation a little bit, especially taking down a team like Alabama, who is the number one overall seed at this point.
Yeah, and if you want to dream a little bit as an Aztec fan, getting to the Elite Eight also sets up a regional final against either Princeton or Creighton, two teams that you are seeded higher than.
Right.
And if you were able to get to the Final Four, the best team remaining in the East right now is a number four seed, Tennessee.
It's not that crazy to see a five seed get to a final. It's not that crazy. It's not crazy at all, in my opinion. So, you know, you're right. They have a path. Should they get past Alabama, and that's not to take anything away from any of the other teams, right? Creighton beat the Aztecs last year.
That's right.
But that path, there's no denying that that path is a lot easier than maybe it was a week ago. When this tournament starts.
Yeah, Arizona's been knocked out of the Aztecs' path. Purdue has been knocked out of their path. Duke has been knocked out of their path. Marquette has been knocked out of their path. So, I mean, you know, but Alabama's still in their path.
Right.
So,
right. That's the big dog.
That's the big dog that's in the way right now. The other thing the Aztecs have never done that Gonzaga has done, Tony, they've never beaten a team seeded higher than them in the tournament.
Yeah.
The Aztecs have won 8 games in the NCAA tournament. All 8 were against teams that were seeded lower than them. They've never beaten a team higher than them. Gonzaga's done that 8 times, and that tends to get you a lot of notoriety as well. So the Aztecs can check off a couple of big boxes if they can win on Friday.
But that's one of the things, right? Who'd you say has done that? Knocked off
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's done that a lot. That's who we're talking about. Those are the type of wins that start to propel mm-hmm. your program.
Yeah, this would be huge. Here's Brian Dutcher's opening comment to the media today here in San Diego.
And, you know, we've been on the road 8 out of 10 days. So we got back. They got to sleep in their own beds. And we gave them a day off Sunday. We met yesterday, and we knew we were going to go long on the floor, maybe an hour, just to get their bodies moving again. But when we met, they still looked tired. And it's a long season. And so as much as we're all excited to play, and they're excited as anybody, there's a recovery period that goes on. So we got through recovery yesterday, did enough on the floor to start working toward a game plan, and go harder today. And then really hard tomorrow, and then light again leading into the game. So we're still debating how we want to do things against Alabama, who individually guarding their best players, and that will change over the course of a game. But every time you watch film, you learn something new. They're well coached. Everyone talks about their offense, but metrically they're better defensively than we are. So obviously that's why they're the top seed in the tournament. They play both ends of the floor. They play hard. They're talented. And it'll be a challenge, but one we're looking forward to on Friday.
And, you know, in listening to Brian Dutcher talk there, Tony, it sounds like it's a good thing that the game is Friday.
Yeah.
Give the Aztecs an extra day. I mean, we don't think of these things, but you and I talked about this yesterday. Players and coaches think of different things than fans do. And coaches especially think about rest and getting their guys to be, you know, 100%, you know, rested and get prepared for a game. Don't forget, they had to fly all the way back from Orlando, you know, after playing on Saturday afternoon, and, you know, get back to San Diego, get a couple of days and then a practice, and then you're right back on a plane to the Eastern time zone again, to Louisville.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, there is the travel there, and that's going to be something that's on the minds of the Aztecs. I'm glad they got the extra day to prepare because I think they're going to need it.
Those who are fortunate enough are getting their first glimpse of what the next level looks like. Eight out of ten days on the road, flying from east to west, back to east.
Yeah,
that's what you do at the pro level. And so, in some ways, the NCAA tournament is full of that. Right? Is all of a sudden you go from playing your two games a week to you're still playing two games a week, but there's a lot more travel involved in these two games a week if you're fortunate enough. So, I have no doubt that these guys, for as much as traveling in altitude has probably helped them in terms of, you know, being fit and being able to take on this last week, that doesn't substitute for the time changes that these guys went through going from West Coast to East Coast back to West Coast. I know the feeling as a broadcaster, so I can only imagine what it's like as a player playing in these games.
I'm just cutting this audio right now of Brian Dutcher. I'm going through it, and he was just talking about a clip I was listening to. They asked him, how do you get your team on the right body clock? Because on Thursday, their practice, I believe, is at 10 a.m. Their time, so that's going to be a lot earlier here.
7
lineup alert.
Yeah, and a lineup alert, Tony says. Brian Dutcher basically said, like, if we get there on time, we'll be okay. But last time, because Joe Biden was flying out on Air Force One, they couldn't leave for a couple hours. They got in there at midnight. They ate at 2 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. So he says as long as they're there at a good time, then they'll be okay.
That sounds like the minor league scheduling right there. Eating, landing at 12, eating at 2 a.m.
Dutcher said that he ate chicken wings and they didn't feel so good the next morning at 2 a.m.
Bring it on, man. The Aztecs are ready for any challenge. All right, Tony's got the lineup down at spring training. We'll get to that in just a second. Also, when we come back, Nick Alvarez from the AL.com. He covers Alabama basketball. We'll find out about the number one seeded Crimson Tide, the Aztecs' opponent Friday when we come back. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
.237 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We will soon be having Nick Alvarez on from the AL.com. He covers that Crimson Tide team out in Alabama. The Aztecs matchup Friday. We'll get some insight from Nick when he joins us here shortly. I told you guys there was a lineup alert. Padres have put their lineup in. Fernando Tatis Jr. will lead off. He'll be in right field. Jake Cronenworth will bat second. He'll play first. Manny Machado will bat third. He'll play third base. Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. He'll bat fourth. Matt Carpenter's the designated hitter. He'll bat fifth. Ha-Sung Kim, second base. Trent Grisham, center field. Luis Camposano, catcher. And David Dahl in left. No Juan Soto in the lineup as I expected.
Yeah,
we'll hopefully hear from the skipper here soon. Let me see if they've posted what time he's going to talk.
Yeah, we didn't expect Juan Soto to play, not only today, Tony, but probably not even the rest of the week. Again, this oblique thing is definitely concerning. You hope that it's just a couple of days, but it's unlikely. I mean, anything that gets you out of the lineup when an oblique, they're going to err on the major side of caution with Juan Soto. So
Bo Mel's going to speak at 3:30. So
all right, we got about an hour.
We'll hear from him at some point then, because it'll be interesting what he has to say about it.
It certainly will. Certainly will. Certainly will be.
Shortly.
We'll see what he has to say, because it certainly will be interesting. Yeah, that, and of course Nola's not in there, but nobody would expect him to play today either. The thing that's interesting, Tony, even without Soto, still a pretty good lineup.
Still a pretty
imposing lineup. Not bad.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to seem like, you know, I was just, you know, poo-pooing Juan Soto at all. This lineup is still really good.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider that Fernando Tatis Jr. returns April 20th. So,
a month from today, he'll be back, or a month from yesterday.
A month from yesterday, Fernando Tatis Jr. will be back with the Padres in that lineup. We'll get to some more Padre talk here in a little later on in the show. But now we're talking Aztecs, Crimson Tide, joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Family helped them in terms of, you know, being fit and being able to take on these last week. That doesn't substitute for the time changes that these guys went through going from West Coast to East Coast back to West Coast. I know the feeling as a broadcaster, so I can only imagine what it's like as a player playing in these games.
I'm just cutting this audio right now of Brian Dutcher. I'm going through it, and he was just talking about a clip I was listening to. They asked him, how do you get your team on the right body clock? Because on Thursday, their practice, I believe, is at 10 a.m. Their time, so that's going to be a lot earlier here.
7
lineup alert.
Yeah, and lineup alert, Critone says. Brian Dutcher basically said, like, if we get there on time, we'll be okay. But last time, because Joe Biden was flying out on Air Force One, they couldn't leave for a couple hours. They got in there at midnight. They ate at 2 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. So he says, as long as they're there at a good time, then they'll be okay.
That sounds like the minor league scheduling right there. Landing at 12, eating at 2 a.m.
Dutcher said that he ate chicken wings and they didn't feel so good the next morning at 2 a.m.
Bring it on, man. The Aztecs are ready for any challenge. All right, Tony's got the lineup down at spring training. We'll get to that in just a second. Also, when we come back, Nick Alvarez from the AL.com. He covers Alabama basketball. We'll find out about the number one seeded Crimson Tide, the Aztecs' opponent Friday when we come back. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
.237 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We will soon be having Nick Alvarez on from the AL.com. He covers that Crimson Tide team out in Alabama. The Aztecs matchup Friday. We'll get some insight from Nick when he joins us here shortly. I told you guys there was a lineup alert Padres have put their lineup in. Fernando Tatis Jr. will lead off. He'll be in right field. Jake Cronenworth will bat second. He'll play first. Manny Machado will bat third. He'll play third base. Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. He'll bat fourth. Matt Carpenter's the designated hitter. He'll bat fifth. Ha-Sung Kim, second base. Trent Grisham, center field. Luis Camposano, catcher. And David Dahl in left. No Juan Soto in the lineup as I expected.
Yeah.
We'll hopefully hear from the skipper here soon. Let me see if they've posted what time he's going to talk.
Yeah, we didn't expect that Juan Soto would play, not only today, Tony, but probably not even the rest of the week. Again, this oblique thing is definitely concerning. You hope that it's just a couple of days, but it's unlikely. I mean, anything that gets you out of the lineup when an oblique, they're going to err on the major side of caution with Juan Soto, so...
Bo Mel's going to speak at 3:30, so...
All right, we got about an hour.
We'll hear from him at some point then, because it'll be interesting what he has to say about it.
It certainly will. Certainly will. Certainly will be.
Shortly.
We'll see what he has to say, because it certainly will be interesting. Yeah, that and, of course, Nola's not in there, but nobody would have expected him to play today either. The thing that's interesting, Tony, even without Soto... Still a pretty good lineup.
Still a
pretty imposing lineup. Not bad.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to seem like, you know, I was just, you know, poo-pooing Juan Soto at all. This lineup is still really good.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider that Fernando Tatis Jr. returns April 20th. So,
yeah. A month from today, he'll be back. Or a month from yesterday.
A month from yesterday, Fernando Tatis Jr. will be back with the Padres in that lineup. We'll get to some more Padre talk here in a little later on in the show. But now we're talking Aztecs, Crimson Tide. Joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad hotline is Nick Alvarez from the AL.com. Nick, thank you for joining us. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Let's talk a little bit about this Crimson Tide team. Everybody's excited out our way here in San Diego. Aztecs in a Sweet 16. This is a daunting task, though. This is the number one team, really number one seed overall in this tournament. Tell us a little bit about this team. We know about Miller. How has this team kind of come together over the course of the season?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. This is, I think, at least in my opinion, far away one of the best teams in the country. Maybe Houston has a case. But this team, I mean, all year had Brandon Miller. It had some rotating bigs who were, like, playing well individually at certain points of the season. They're all now playing together. Charles Bediako, their starting center. Noah Clowney, they're starting kind of stretch four. They actually have a backup power forward, graduate senior, who's nicknamed Stretch, and Noah Gurley. Then, you know, throughout the season, their guard depth, I think, really improved. And that's kind of where you're seeing some of the success in March. Javon Quinterly, you know, March JQ, he is a SEC Tournament Player of the Year 2 years ago, Sixth Man of the Year this year, inserted into the starting lineup in the postseason. He's coming back from an ACL tear from last year's NCAA tournament. He's been like a star right now. Namari Burnett, Jaden Bradley, Mark Sears, their depth is incredible. And I know the Aztecs have some great depth too, so that's where I think this match gets interesting. But there's not many teams in the country that can roll out, you know, 10, 12 top-tier players. And there's even a few of them, you know, I forgot to mention in that little spiel. So
yeah, so much for hoping that a bunch of guys get into foul trouble. They'll have a bunch of guys they can still bring in.
Nick
Alvarez is with us from,
crazy, yeah.
from AL.com. You know, Nick, I was looking at Alabama's history in the NCAA tournament, and I don't have it as specific probably as you guys have it down there, but from what I'm checking, from what I've gathered, that they've been to eight Sweet 16s in the last 30, 40 years since the tournament expanded, et cetera. They've only been to the Elite Eight once. So it seems like the Aztecs have never been to an Elite Eight. I know everybody expects Alabama to win, but is this a key moment for this program in terms of trying to get somewhere they've rarely been before?
Oh, 100%. I think, you know, aside from kind of the off-the-court stuff, that is, you know, as much a part of this team season as the basketball stuff, this team is undoubtedly the best in program history. The number one ranking they got earlier this season, some of their quality wins over top teams in the tournament, they're expected to go to the Final Four this year for the first time ever. And when you look at the way their bracket, the side of the bracket, bracket shook out in the first weekend, you know, Arizona State or Arizona loses, Baylor loses. The window's kind of opening up. And one of the last teams that I think matches up well with Alabama is probably San Diego State. You know, no shade, of course, to Creighton or Princeton. Like, I just think the way it shakes up, like, it's expected that Alabama goes to Houston. Like, they just have that talent. They're not going to be, you know, favored by any fewer than, you know, 5 points by, you know, at least next weekend. So I think for as big of a moment as this for the Aztecs, like, the Crimson Tide fans have been traveling this year for basketball because I think they know they're witnessing something potentially special.
Nick Alvarez joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, AL.com. And, Nick, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about the controversy. Obviously, Brandon Miller has been one of the best players in the country. He's also had some controversy following. What went into the thought process in terms of allowing Brandon Miller to continue to play through some of the side things that were going on off the court?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think when you look at kind of what happened on January 15th, where at least everyone can agree that three Alabama players were there that night, and a fourth that's kind of in dispute with the New York Times, a story from last week, but the overall sentiment is that Alabama has not punished players that legally have done no wrong. The authorities and the university has said multiple times that Jaden Bradley and Miller have been cleared of any wrongdoing. So in their case, that's why they have not missed a game.
Right.
Happened about 2 months ago. And I think where some people have the moral questions of kind of the decision-making of that night, you know, from an Alabama standpoint, they've been cleared, they've been cooperative. They've said publicly that, you know, it's a tragic situation, and that's about it. So they're just trying to keep it on the basketball.
Tell us a little bit about Nate Oates, the head coach at Alabama. I don't think we know not a lot of people know a lot about, you know, where he's from, how he's built his program to where it is now. I know he's worn the checkered coat in the past as a nod to the great old Alabama coach, Wim Sanderson. But tell us about Nate Oates and how he handled some of the controversy, because that kind of came down on him as well.
Sure. I definitely think there were some regrettable things said there. That's kind of been circulating in the news today with Saban's press conference last night. But, I mean, from a basketball standpoint, Oates, I mean, he comes from a Michigan high school, Romulus, I believe the name of it was. And in that and learning from other programs at the high school and collegiate level, developed this kind of kick out, really interesting offensive 3-point system that's analytics based, succeeded in Buffalo, came to Alabama, and this year over year has kind of matched the recruiting with the kind of a better understanding of implementing his play style at the SEC level. And then off the court, there was a really interesting story in the Washington Post written by Kent Babb that kind of examined that, like, over the years, Oates has been, you know, a pretty thorough advocate of being a player's coach in terms of making sure his guys can play and if they get into some off the court situations, you know, trying to find a way to rectify it that doesn't include missing game time. And I think in this instance, I think there was kind of an information gap. I don't believe Alabama knew that Miller had received a text from Darius Miles asking him to bring his gun to the scene. I believe Greg Byrne, the athletic director, mentioned that he found that out when the public did, when the trial resumed in February. And I think Oates, at certain times in that initial part of the controversy in February, did not know what the public knew. And when he spoke, there's kind of a disconnect of like, hey, wait a minute here. And I think it's kind of added some fuel to the fire, unfortunately.
Let's talk about Brandon Miller on the court. He has been dynamic in every which way. But he has had games where he has struggled. What gives Brandon Miller trouble on the court, or is it Brandon Miller's best opponent is himself?
Yeah, I mean, I might push back a little bit. Like, I don't think I've seen a game this year, at least since the new year, that where Brandon Miller struggled. Like, he went 0-for-5 in the first round of the tournament against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And like he had a bum groin. I think he played about 19 minutes. They wanted to keep him under 20. And I think some of the writers on Press Row, you kind of looked at each other like, oh, we didn't even realize that. Like, we kind of noticed the stat, but they were still winning by 20. I think he still had, you know, 4 or 5 rebounds, a couple of assists. I mean, he can block. Like, when he decides he wants the ball, he is so athletic to get to the rim. when he decides he wants to block, he can get that there too. I think maybe more kind of fluctuating part of his game, which can affect his stat line and his output, is three-point shooting. You know, sometimes, like he did in the second round against Maryland, his shot will not fall, or will not miss. And then the other times where I think he kind of a little bit too much movement on the shot and will lead to some rimming out. But it's a dynamic scorer inside. Defensively, Maryland went at him a little bit. I think they're trying to test his groin. He's been practicing this week, but you know, intermittently sitting out in live portions, according to Nate Oates. So there might be kind of something with the groin there that would limit his production. But from an on-the-court standpoint, I think your best bet, and what this is what they were saying in the Texas A&M Corpus Christi locker room after the game, is like, just be physical and kind of hope he starts missing.
You know, I'm looking at Alabama's schedule. We're talking to Nick Alvarez of AL.com, talking about the Crimson Tide. I'm looking for any weakness that I can find, and I just can't find any. I mean, come on. They beat two number one teams this year and in a span of three games. They beat North Carolina. They beat Houston when they were number one. I mean, their only losses are to all good teams. They beat Arkansas twice, a team that the Aztecs faced. You know, there's very few reasons to think that, this team isn't everything that they've been, built up to be. As far as the Aztecs are concerned, what are you hearing about the Aztecs? What are people in Alabama expecting? And are they comparing the Aztecs to anybody the Crimson Tide have faced this year?
I think so. We're going to be getting to talk to them on Thursday after getting a couple days of preparation. But in this kind of reading the quotes of what the Aztec head coach mentioned on, I think, his weekly radio show, what Oates mentioned on his radio show here last night, the teams kind of match up well in terms of there's a lot of depth, a lot of defensive first focus. I mean, people lose sight of that with Alabama, that like over the last couple of weeks, they have not been playing their best basketball overall, I would say, especially on the offensive end. But defensively, I think they've been, you know, as locked in as any team in the country. So I think Maryland to slow the pace down as much as it could. It ran into some foul trouble and didn't really have the depth to handle it. Kind of limit possessions, force Alabama's offense to be more stop and start. But when you kind of look at the matchup and the kind of recipes for an Alabama loss, I think it has to start with Alabama not shooting the ball well from three, because they're going to attempt them no matter what. But if they're just kind of off night, that's a bit of an opening. Granted, they've shown they can score inside, but hey, two is less than three. And then I think when you go to offensively, it's the, you're going to have to prove that you can score inside, because they're going to funnel you in there. And if you have the bodies to rotate through, Bediako is great on guards. He's an okay one-on-one defender with a big. So, there's some opportunities, but a lot has to fall into place because I think Alabama's, margin for error is so large.
Nick, last one for me. We kind of talked a little bit about the some of the losses that Crimson Tide. They only had five over the course of the season. Is there any similarities in these five losses they had? Gonzaga being one, North Carolina, I believe, early. Where is there any similarities, or were these just five one-offs?
Other than the poor shooting, which I think I've touched on, I would say like the turnovers. Alabama's guards are efficient, but there are some times where they can be a little indecisive between throwing it up for the lob or going to score themselves. They've been better at that lately, but if you look at their losses, I believe in all but one of them, they've had at least 19 turnovers in their losses.
Well, Nick, we appreciate you coming on today and kind of giving us.
If you could do us a favor and talk to the head coach and say you talk to the people in San Diego, and from what you can tell, the Aztecs really don't have much of a team, and maybe they should start looking ahead to the game on Sunday. We'd appreciate that.
Yeah, no, sounds good. I mean, I would love. I'm hoping for a good game. I want a close one. A nail biter would be fun. These teams are made of.
I think we all are hoping for the same thing. Maybe different outcomes, but certainly we all hope we have a good game. Nick, thanks for coming on today, spending some time with us.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, guys.
That was Nick Alvarez from AL.com on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Yeah, well, they're unbelievable, Tony. I mean, I wish I didn't look at this the schedule that they have played this year. I mean,
he's going down the rabbit hole, Tony.
I know. They're beating everybody. I mean, they're beating absolutely everybody. The one game they lost to Oklahoma, they had 13 turnovers and shot 27% from three. They got blown out by Oklahoma. That was kind of, as you said, the one game that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. They gave up 93 points to the Sooners. But Oklahoma shot 9 of 13 threes that game, and you know, shot 70% from the arc. As much as I'd love to believe the Aztecs can shoot that well, that's not likely. And their other losses are on the road. Tennessee, Texas A&M, UConn, and Gonzaga. All those teams are in the tournament. So it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I think teams shoot poorly in this tournament all the time. So that's one of the things the Aztecs have to hang. They always hang their hat on is poor shooting from the other team based on their defense. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Certainly, as Chris said, it's not going to be an easy matchup. There's just no way around it. You start getting this deep into the tournament, I don't know that there's a such thing as a comfortable matchup. They're all going to be tough, but this one, I think by all accounts, is the toughest of all the matchups available, I think.
Yeah, this is about the toughest one you could get. I mean, I as much as Princeton is a fun story, you know, obviously I'd rather be playing Princeton in this game. But look, if you get, like we said earlier, if the Aztecs can knock over this monster, then things open up a little bit. And, you know, they have a good look at, you know, potentially getting to a Final Four. But this Alabama team, look at the teams they beat, Tony. Michigan State, North Carolina, Houston, Memphis, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Missouri, Auburn, Arkansas and Auburn and Mississippi State again, Missouri again, and Texas A&M. I mean, that's about 12 tournament teams that they've already played this year and beaten.
Yeah, did you miss an Arkansas twice too?
Yeah, Arkansas twice. I mean, that's just crazy how good of a schedule they've had. And Nate's right when you talk about, or Nick's right when you talk about their defense. Last four games, 61 points, the most they've given up. So I mean, they don't give up much.
They certainly are going to be long, and it sounds like they have multiple bodies to bring in. So wow. It'll be a tough matchup. Let's step away. Before I step away, I think it's important we mentioned the NBA lost a legend today.
Yeah.
Willis Reed passed away at the age of 80. Most valuable player in 1970s, a part of the top NBA 50, or all NBA 50, all NBA 75th anniversary. He's on both of those teams. He was a terrific, terrific player.
You know what's the funniest thing about Willis Reed? The game he's most famous for is the game he hobbled onto the court,
yeah,
for Game 7 of the NBA Finals, and they went on to beat the Lakers. Willis Reed scored exactly 2 points in that game, but he was still the reason that the Knicks were driven in that seventh game. Him suiting up and finding a way to play is what's always been given credit for that Knicks championship.
Yeah. He gave his team some life just by showing up on the floor.
Just by showing up on the court. And like I said, he scored 2 points. That's all he got. But it was enough to give the emotional lift the Knicks needed.
Daily Gambit on the way. More Gwyn and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!